Rutland was supposed to resettle 100 refugees. Two families made it, but the rest will have to wait following President Trump's executive order indefinitely suspending resettlement. It's a policy change that's impacting thousands of families, including the Al-Zubanis. They were getting ready to move to Detroit, Michigan. VPR's Nina Keck caught up with them in their apartment in Amman.
We'll meet the Al-Zubanis in a minute. First, it's important to understand just how difficult it is for a refugee to be resettled. It's kind of like winning the lottery. Douglas DeSalvo is a senior protection officer with the UN High Commissioner for Refugees in Jordan.
I think it's one of the great disappointments for many refugees who, once they get over the shock of having been forced to leave their country, been uprooted, there's a real expectation amongst a lot of refugees that they will be resettled.
But in reality, says DeSalvo, it only happens for 1-2%.
The vast majority of refugees will remain in a country of asylum like Jordan or anywhere in the world for as long as it takes for their home country to become stable and safe and turn home.
For the Al-Zubanis, Mohammed, his mother Fatima, his wife Susan, and their six kids, life in Jordan has been tough. They live in a three-bedroom apartment in a tired neighborhood in Amman. I take my shoes off at the front door, and the family leads me into their living room, encouraging me to sit closest to the portable heater, which feels wonderful on this chilly day. The Al-Zubanis are from a Syrian city 8 miles north of the Jordanian border. Mohammed was an electrician. Susan was a stay-at-home mom. They didn't want to leave, but Mohammed says the war made staying impossible.
Sit down.
The voice you hear interpreting for the family is Ihab Mudasep, my guide here in Jordan.
The shelling starts getting closer and closer to where we at, and I was too afraid that one will land too close to us and will harm the children. So we have decided to leave Syria and come here to Jordan because it's safe and secure, and the kids can continue their study and can have a continue with their lives.
Mohammed's mother, Fatima, nods, disturbed by the memory.
It was the bombing and shelling when it starts getting close. He is my only son. I have no one else other than him. I don't have a husband or anybody else. So when he decided to leave, I have to be with him. I left with him looking for safety and security.
They fled in 2012. While it's been safe, making ends meet has been a challenge. Mohammed, like most refugees, didn't have the right to work, and monthly aid from the UN has been shrinking. They applied for resettlement in 2015, and after each round of interviews and security checks, Mohammed says they grew more hopeful.
I have done the entire process. I've gone through the interviews with the immigration officer, got approved. I did my medical tests. I even took the educational course about the American law and American holidays. We studied the American law. We studied about America, and we were very, very happy, and we were saying, thank you, America, thank you, America.
The family says they were told by the IOM, the International Organization for Migration, that they'd be moving to Detroit, Michigan. Fatima was even assigned a travel date, December 22nd. But the family didn't want her to travel alone, so they asked immigration officials to postpone her departure until the entire family was cleared to go. Susan says they'd been poring over pictures of Michigan on the internet when they heard President Trump announce his order to halt resettlement.
I was shocked. I went into shock, and we were very excited for this, and we wanted to go for the sake of the kids and their education. I was shocked from it.
Mohammed is more circumspect, but his eyes show just how much this setback has meant.
President Trump have made a decision for the safety and security of his country and his people. And I was looking forward to be part of that country, to live in that country. I'm proud of him for having such a concern for his country and for the people. And I would have wanted to be part of that and live in the U.S.
Having come from a country where chemical weapons were used against civilians in the Civil War, Mohammed's feelings are understandable. Susan nods, but admits through the interpreter that the waiting is the hardest part. She gets up to serve tea while her mother-in-law invites me to stay for lunch. A real Syrian meal, she says, smiling. I'd love to stay, but I know they barely have enough for themselves. For VPR News, I'm Naini Keck in Amman, Jordan.
And VPR's reporting from Jordan on the refugee crisis is supported in part by the VPR Journalism Fund.